Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter, which you heard read at the beginning of the service. So today is the first day of Holy Week as we near the end of our Lenten journey. So is it Palm Sunday or is it the Sunday of the Passion? Well, it's both, actually. We remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but we also did hear the entire Passion reading. It's a long reading, but unless you're here on Good Friday, or you read it aloud this week on your own, you likely won't hear the whole story from beginning to end. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem was an entrance fit for a king. The crowds, the palm branches, the shouts of Hosanna. One look at the celebration and you knew it was a victory parade. But something was different. Unlike other victory parades, King Jesus doesn't enter as a king of war, but a king of peace. And he looks much more like a beggar than a king, perhaps as if he's already lost the war. He's not mounted proudly on a war horse, but seated humbly on a donkey, a young, unbroken donkey that was borrowed. This King of Kings is not bringing the spoils of war, but he's bringing his very own body to be spoiled on Calvary's cross. St. John records that his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The disciples didn't understand these things, meaning they didn't understand the significance of his entrance into Jerusalem riding a donkey until after Jesus was crucified and risen from the dead. Even though they knew Holy Scripture, they followed Jesus and they knew Holy Scripture, they didn't realize or recognize on that day prophecy plainly written in Scripture was being fulfilled in their very presence. But it shouldn't surprise us that they didn't understand, because sometimes when we're on a journey, we too are easily distracted, and we take our eyes off of the destination. That's why we use the church calendar, so it helps us to keep focused on the destination, so that we understand that these things, like Palm Sunday, in relationship to the greater thing, that is when Jesus was glorified through his death and resurrection. Now, you may recall many times on the first Sunday of Advent, our gospel text is the Palm Sunday reading. You would think it would be about a baby about to come and be born in a manger, but no, it's the Palm Sunday story. Everyone loves a story about a baby, but instead of jumping right to the baby in the manger, the church calendar directs our attention to the ultimate destination, Jesus' work of salvation on Calvary's cross. Because if Jesus didn't come to die, well, then we have no reason to celebrate Christmas. We'd have no reason to celebrate Easter. In the same way today, as we wave our palm branches, the palms mean nothing apart from Jesus' passion, which the palms point us to. Jesus didn't come to Jerusalem just to hear the shouts and accolades and be welcomed by the crowds. He came to die on the cross. He is the mightiest king who ever was and will be. He is the king who is over all other kings. And he entered the holy city on the final leg of his journey for the greatest war ever waged. his war against sin, death, and the grave. So Holy Week that we begin today is not just a rehearsing of history. It's not historical events leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, but the purpose of Holy Week is to announce to the world the good news of Jesus, that in the brutality of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, God was reconciling himself with mankind. And that's why I point to this crucifix so often. As we talked about earlier downstairs, in antiquity, thousands upon thousands of people were crucified. So an empty cross is not very specific. Even in pop culture, the familiarity of the symbol of the cross and a crown of thorns is well known. You see people wearing the necklaces and the tattoos. Even among unbelievers, the cross is popular. But that doesn't mean that everyone has a proper understanding and true understanding of the cross. So, when you shove a crown of thorns on Jesus' holy head and you nail his hands and feet to the cross, when you behold a suffering and bleeding and dying Savior for you, it causes a scandal. It creates a scandal that a lot of people prefer to soften and remove. But this right here is God making peace between himself and you. Jesus crucified for you. Regardless of how scandalous and offensive to the eye it might be, this is the harsh reality of Jesus crucified for you. And it causes personal reflection, soul-searching, and self-examination, even for the most pious believer. Jesus rode into the city to shouts of Hosanna, and blessed is he. And as the crowds are shouting, there's much going on behind the scenes. There's a whole demonic world led by the devil himself, tempting everyone in the city that day to give in to sinful human emotions, selfishness, greed, hatred, jealousy, and fear. It was just a few days earlier that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, so it's no wonder that there's such a throng of people following him into the city. But even many of those only wanted Jesus, the miracle worker. There were many others in the crowd in the city, hoping that Jesus would be the savior of the nation, that he would throw out the Romans and restore Israeli rule like it was back in the days of King David. And then we have the religious leaders. The religious leaders were seeking a way to put Jesus to death. They were afraid that he was going to take away their power and their nation. And they certainly didn't want to lose their privileged position. And they hate the fact that people are worshiping Jesus instead of the one and only God, as God commands in his Ten Commandments. The chief priests would eventually turn many in the crowd away from Jesus, as Scripture tells us. And as they're looking for that way to put him to death, lo and behold, they meet the greedy Judas, and they confer with him on how he might betray him to them. And Judas made a quick 30 pieces of silver to put in his pocket. So if you and I truly examine ourselves, and we can find ourselves right there in the holy city. And not only on Palm Sunday, but also on Good Friday, shouting, "Crucify him." Even today, there's a whole demonic world led by the devil himself, tempting you to give in to sinful human emotions, temptation, sin, so that you betray your Savior. St. Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The devil is doing his worst, tempting you with selfishness and greed and hatred and jealousy and fear. And it wells up from within you, from your old Adam. Yeah, you try to hide it, stashed away in the dark places of your heart and your mind. But it bleeds out. And you can see it in the whole world around you. And you cannot stop yourself being infected from this sin because it just continually wells up and bears fruits. Fruits of sin caused by the temptations of the evil one. So Jesus didn't ride into Jerusalem only to take on the religious leaders or only to take on the forces of the devil. No, Jesus rode into Jerusalem for you. He didn't come for the shouts and the accolades. He came to die on the cross for you, to defeat the very enemies that haunt you, your sin, your death, your grave. So when you behold a bleeding and suffering and dying Savior for you, it's something that requires reflection, self-examination. In the cross of Christ, you see God's entire wrath against sin, all sin of all time. The cross of torture and crucifixion was used for thousands upon thousands of people in the ancient world. But this cross is different. This cross is now the altar of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In the words of Pilate, behold the man. In the words of John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Holy One of God who takes away your sins of selfishness and greed and hatred and jealousy and fear, all those sins that you have hidden away in the dark places of your heart and mind. Many people are offended at the cross because the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But for us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So that is why we preach Christ and Him crucified. Stumbling block to the Jews, folly to the Gentiles. But in the word of the cross, you receive the fruits of Christ's suffering and death, forgiveness of sins, eternal life and salvation, all that come from God alone. Every one of Christ's gifts, won on the cross for you, was then given to you in the holy waters of baptism. Luther once wrote, the life of a Christian from baptism to the grave is nothing else than the beginning of a blessed death. For at the last day, God will make him altogether new. So whatever your destination is in this world, whatever you think your destination is, after baptism, your destination is death. And if you take your eyes off of your destination, sometimes you can get lost and confused. So the church calendar keeps us in focus. Jesus' birth in the manger, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, were just moments on the timeline of Jesus' destination for his glory. Yes, he had many glorious moments as he had his earthly ministry, but not his primary glory. This is his primary glory. As St. Paul writes, though he was in the form of God, though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus' obedience, suffering, and death for you. Holy Week isn't about a bunch of historical events leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, but it is an opportunity to tell the world the good news of Christ crucified. That in the brutality of Jesus' suffering and death, God was reconciling himself with the world. Through the glory of this single death on Calvary's cross, the wages of all sin of all time were paid, and God is reconciled with humanity. And all who trust in Jesus for salvation are now at peace with God. So as you journey through this life toward your destination of a blessed death and a bodily resurrection on the last day, you have our Lord's promise that because of Christ's humble obedience to the Father's will of saving mankind from their sins, by his grace, you are today a new creation in Christ. And on the last day, you will be like him and live with him forever. By the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, God mercifully grant that you follow the example of Jesus' great humility and patience and be made partakers in his resurrection. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.